here's a story from The World.
Even if you're not Jewish, you might speak more Yiddish than you realize. Words like klutz, schlep, and schmooze. The interjection, oi. Before the Holocaust, Yiddish was the lingua franca for millions of people across Europe. Today, it's mostly spoken in Orthodox Jewish communities. But in recent years, there's been an effort to revive the Yiddish language among younger, secular Jews, and not just to remember the past, also to reimagine their identity. From Berlin, Rebecca Collard reports.
In a city park, a few dozen people come together for a Yiddish picnic and klezmer jam session. Most of them are young Jews who grew up in Europe or North America.
My father's family is Jewish. It's like the sort of post-Soviet Jewish identity of not being very traditional, not being very religious, but it has always been like a part of the families of my identity.
Ellie Mann is part of Shtetl Berlin, an organization that puts on Yiddish events, often informal like this one.
I've always had a connection to secular Judaism, but I never really had an outlet of that or like knew that connection, knew how big of a world that could be.
Many of the people here are looking for something similar. Irad Ben Isaac sits on the grass nearby. He grew up in Israel and says that there...
People are supposed to speak only Hebrew and not Arabic, not Yiddish, not anything.
When the modern Zionist movement began in the late 19th century and Jews from different countries started moving to the Holy Land, nobody really spoke Hebrew in daily life. Jewish communities spoke a lot of different languages, depending on where they were, like German, French, Russian, Arabic, you name it. But there were also uniquely Jewish languages, like Ladino, a kind of Judeo-Spanish, and of course, Yiddish. It's a Germanic language developed over 1,000 years that includes elements of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Slavic languages. Yiddish was spoken by as many as 13 million people before the Holocaust, including the family of Ben Isaac's mother.
She kind of denied it being her mother tongue because she grew up in Israel. So I found out only in a later age that Yiddish was her mother tongue and not Hebrew. And then I got like more and more curious about Yiddish and Yiddish culture, and then I started to learn this language.
Before Israel was founded in 1948, there was a debate about what should be the new Jewish state's official language, Hebrew or Yiddish. For some, Yiddish was associated with the Holocaust and the dark days in Europe before that. And Hebrew was seen as the language of a new Jewish national identity. And it was being revived to be modern and speakable. And eventually, Hebrew became an official language of the Israeli state.
Killed what Yiddish was. I mean, Yiddish as a culture kind of didn't survive because of that, because of the monolingual ideology.
Yiddish suffered further as thousands of Yiddish speakers in North America tried to assimilate, and over time started looking toward Israel rather than their origins in Eastern Europe. Today, Jewish schools and institutions outside Israel overwhelmingly teach Hebrew rather than Yiddish, and many synagogues display the national flag of Israel.
And I think, especially in North America, a Jewish identity that was based on a connection to Israel became really powerful.
Shema Boyarin is American. He grew up in Israel and is now a professor of Jewish studies in Canada. At 50 years old, he has just started learning Yiddish.
When I left Israel and when I started like thinking about my identity as being non-Israeli, that's also when I turned more to Yiddish and to Yiddish culture.
Increasingly, younger Jews in Europe and North America say they feel disconnected from Israel. A poll last year found that one quarter of American Jews surveyed say that Israel is an apartheid state. And for those under the age of 40, it was even higher, about one third.
In America, a lot of, you know, people have been like turning to Yiddish to kind of disassociate from Zionism and from Hebrew and from the kind of colonialist project, if you will, that Zionism is. For some, it's also embracing like roots that go back before that.
Hundreds of miles away in Vienna, Isabel Frey, a Jewish Austrian musician and activist, is teaching Yiddish singing.
I got into Yiddish over a long kind of Jewish identity crisis.
Frey says she was never very religious, but...
I grew up in a Zionist youth movement, so I grew up a lot with kind of Israeli folk songs, so a lot of Hebrew songs. And then spent a gap year in Israel and Palestine at the age of 18. And that was kind of a turning point for me.
In Israel, Fry didn't find the socialist utopia she had learned about as a kid. And then she went to the Israeli-occupied West Bank.
I got there and it really hit me. And it was also this feeling of, okay, I haven't been told the whole story. And at the time, I called my parents that evening and I was really crying and telling them, like, why didn't you tell me? So I really distanced myself from a lot of these Zionist narratives that I grew up with. And that really left a void.
Fry looked to fill that void and discovered a long tradition of leftist Yiddish music and socialist political thought. In 2020, Isabel Fry released her first Yiddish album. It's called Millennial Bundist, and it's a mix of old revolutionary Yiddish songs and new lyrics that reflect today's political realities. Back at the Shtetl Berlin picnic, Shama Boyarin says something similar to Fry and others about the relationship between Yiddish and his identity.
This project of reconnecting that is pre-Zionist and post-Zionist and non-Zionist, and so it's very powerful.
But it's not just about reimagining political identity. It's about celebrating Jewish life, traditions, and a language that existed in Europe long before the Holocaust.
But it's also about just playing music and being happy in a park, and, you know, and it's super vibrant and alive.
For the world, I'm Rebecca Collard in Berlin. From PRX.